It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and we are sharing our thoughts on what happened yesterday. And, you know, if some of you actually went out and did something, call. I want to hear. I want you to tell me everything. This is all over in all 50 states. Patriots Day. People are out there actually doing something. Were you actually doing something? You just talk about you doing something. You know, did you help somebody do something? Did you pay for a little sign for them to go do something? Did you call in another talk radio in your local area? Did you go online, post something? Did you do something? What do you think this is about? It's not about watching it. You know what's that saying? There are those that make things happen, those that watch things happen, and those that go, what the heck just happened? Well, I'll tell you what was going on here. Here in Arizona, we're scrambling, man. I'm still running around. Give me a second. Every time I catch my breath. What we did yesterday is we had, you know, we got it going on. I mean, we got a place here for people to be able to make signs and congregate and gather and plan and strategize and a place to post stuff, put their pictures up and get it. It's all good. But, you know, if you're not actually out there, then, yeah, you know, and who else? You know, let me tell you where the love is. You can sit there and love yourself all you want and be just, you know, content and happy and everything, which is good. At least you're not a negative. There's a, well, you don't do anything. Heck, man, that's a big giant advantage over doing bad stuff. You can sit there and do nothing, and that's all good. But those that want to express themselves, how do they do it? Let's go get them damn immigrants. You know, let's go, you know, somebody's, you know, shouldn't get and I should because of a piece of paper or something. I mean, kind of stupid stuff like that. I'm going to go off. Let me tell you, because I can. Yeah, get your own show. Let me tell you what the deal is. I am so sick and tired of people that would advocate for freedom, say they're for freedom, freedom. America, wave the flag, you know, even bring their guns to protest and everything, but only for us Americans, okay? I have a card given to me by my national flag-waving government, you know, the commander-in-chief. Well, I may not like him this time, but yeah, it's commander-in-chief thing. You know, I got hail to the chief, pledge allegiance to the flag. Yeah, these things, how many times? Star-Spangled Banner, you know, I'm cool with that. I mean, it doesn't really just, you know, kind of represents, you know, does she still wave? I mean, I just wondered, you know, because it represents something, you know, in the heart right here. But this Pledge Allegiance thing, man, you just fill in time? What's that all about? I pledge allegiance to the flag, and to the republic for which it stands? When did that happen? You know, at what point? We still got that? That republic thing, you know, seriously? So I'm just, you know, so if you're not advocating for freedom for everybody, then what are you doing? And I want to make sure you understand. Yesterday, I saw a lot of people with a lot of guns, a lot of people I know that, you know, having a good time. They were there, you know, expressing themselves. Let me tell you the one thing that I feared. They wanted America back in their hands so they could wield the power. They weren't for individual rights against the power to oppress them. Oh, we got plenty to talk about today.
There are those that just want to be left alone
and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Mayor Ernest Hancock here in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, from the Studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, where we're in the thick of it. Thick of it yesterday. We were all over the place, and I'm going to be all over the place today. Today is, you know, it's interesting that we would have exercise of our First Amendment with our Second Amendment strapped on, and then the next day after 419 is 420. And 420, you know, I'm not even sure why. I think 420 is police code in L.A. or something for they be having some marijuana, okay? Well, at ASU today, Arizona State University, they, you know, start at noon and they'll have all the bands and yeehaw and so on. And then at 420, everybody, you know, it's revolution tomorrow. And the thing is that they just kind of, yeah, we'll do it tomorrow. But at 420, they have, I guess, light up, whatever they're going to do. We'll see. But right after that, you know, then I speak. And then Mark Victor is going to come up, do a criminal defense attorney, do what up? Well, you know, the normal, the National Organization for Reform of Marijuana Laws. And I'm like, you know, why? Whatever. They take the easy way out, just marijuana. You know, I'm just like, I want to inject Clorox bleach because I can. Once. remember that one cartoon that Bugs Bunny, and he had to outdo, I don't know, somebody, Daffy Duck, they're doing the vaudeville thing, and not to be outdone, you know, with Bugs Bunny, I think it was Daffy Duck, he gets up there and he puts on a fire suit and he drinks a gallon of gasoline and then he does all and then he lights it, boom, yes, that was the greatest thing ever, as he's flying up, you know, he's dead. But, you know, gosh darn it, what a show. Are we allowed to do that? Are we allowed to have a show? Really big show. You know, this is just, it's how we roll, man. Because I'm telling you, there is a common thread through all of this stuff. 419, what do we have? Guys with guns going out all over the country saying, you know, I got my gun. What are you going to do with it? I brung it. I can't run more than, you know, 20 yards without falling down into a, you know, heaving heap, but, you know, gosh darn, I can pull a trigger. Is the man afraid of that? I don't know. You know, they're more afraid of you just calling, you know, BS on them ruling you anyway. You know, this whole thing, it comes down to what? It comes down to legitimacy. They strive to achieve that more than anything else. Right now in the legislature, main thing is that they have gazillions of dollars wheeled around. $700 trillion, I think 600, you know, the other number came out. We'll go with the low number. It's a low number. $600 trillion. $600 trillion will bring out the lobbyist. And to spend it or to protect the guys that wasted it and all that kind of stuff, what do they got to do? Well, they got lobbyists, man. They got legislators saying, you know, we have the cred, street cred. Yeah, what's up? This guy is guilty. This guy's not. We're going to do reform. Oh, it'd be hard to prove, yada, 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 without any explanation, understanding of what's going on. I came back from, where was I last? I was on a plane in Mississippi. So it was not this last week, the week before. I'm coming back from Mississippi, speaking at an event there. Yeah, it's when Ron Paul was speaking at the Southern Republican Leadership Conference, okay? So I'm there, all these Campaign for Liberty guys, Young American Liberty guys, they had just gone down and they came after the convention I was speaking at, Libertarian Party there, and we're all telling them, saying, what's up? Say, oh, we got video too, have my iPhone. All right. They know exactly what's going on. As I'm coming back, I'm on the plane with a guy from where I came, Hattiesburg or whatever it is in the center of Mississippi. He was coming from there, going to a conference here in Phoenix. He is a fine guy. He goes, we're just yakking, you know, back and forth and, you know, what's up? And he's, oh, yeah, I hunt and fish and everything. And later he goes, you know, he goes, oh, yeah, well, normally I don't tell people what I do because they get all mad. I'm a financial planner. And he goes, You know, so we're talking everything. I mean, the plane ride 4 hours went fast because we're just yakking. He had no idea how mortgage-backed security derivatives worked. Not a clue. I mean, you know, I didn't have a whole lot more, but I'm just like, you know, this is interesting to me that he had not a clue. And he's building a house, and he's doing all kinds of stuff. But what was the conversation? How did it go? Back and forth. We're sitting there discussing. And it came down to he providing some information from his perspective, what he's told, how it works, what telling people where to invest and all that kind of stuff. And I'm, you know, giving him an explanation of what we found out, how they've taken mortgages, split them into, you know, somebody gets access to the revenue stream, but all the principal and the pension funds that they put it in, $1 billion, the brokerage, they said, you know, thanks, half billion of that is ours. They just take half. And then put it at, loan it out at a high interest rate to pay the stream to them. But what happens when people stop making their house payments? Well, they only had access to the revenue stream. They didn't have ownership of the property. They didn't transfer deeds. They didn't do any of that stuff. So all these houses are sitting there waiting to be foreclosed on by who? Even if they did, they're underwater. It's a loss on their books. They're just sitting there. I know lots of people that haven't made a single house payment in 2 years. Nothing happens. Lord forbid you actually file some paperwork going, can I see the mortgage? I was just wondering, word up. You know, you guys the one I'm supposed to be paying? I just wanted to know. Well, we'll put you at the bottom of the pile. We'll get to you later. So this is, as I'm talking to these people, I'm saying, you know, people that should know have no clue. And it goes down all the way to the people that all they know is that they don't got a job anymore. And somebody's going to get blamed. And they need to be looking in the mirror. So, you know, what does MSNBC do? Oh, they got guns. They got guns. We got white people with guns. We got black people with guns. We got Mexicans with guns. It's us versus the peoples with guns. You know, they're going to have to, you know, do away with this race thing. That ain't working out for them anymore. You know, the gender thing, that's not flushing either. The homosexuality thing, that's not working out so good either. They're starting to find out it's the oppressors against the oppressed. And when everybody's ox is gored and they're oppressed, guess what? They're more of us than it is of them. What do? Well, they come up with other reasons. They come up with other distractions. They come up with, you know, mushroom clouds in the form of a nuclear blast or a volcano. I mean, nothing surprises me anymore. Oh, you'll like this. Last night, you know, I put a lot of stuff from popular science up on Freedom's Phoenix. You know, I'm just so struggling. You know, can we look into the future? Can we look at, you know, the inspiration that I get from the minds of people? I mean, you'd think after 6 billion people and the ability to share information for at least a decade or more that we've had, that, you know, you'd pretty much thought about just about everything you could do. No, all kinds of goodies. By noon today, I have one of the editors and my wife are putting up, you know, a bunch of stuff that I, you know, scan through. I just send it out because I'm busy, and they'll get it up. You'll see a bunch of goodies. But I'm telling you, in 1932, May issue of Popular Science, an actual original copy, Renee, one of the activists here, she brought it in for me to see. They were making handmade earthquakes in 1932. Popular Science, it's Tesla technology. It's just like, you know, you go, I can't do it. At a high C on a Memorex glass, boom, that wine glass shatters. Why? It's resonance. You start getting it vibrating. You put enough energy in at a certain frequency, bridges fall over, buildings collapse. You get the right kind of wind vibrating. You got to take this stuff into consideration. The same thing happens with the Earth's crust. You go, at a certain rate, what happens? I don't know. It starts to resonate. You start getting earthquakes. 1932, even before that. You know, it's Tesla stuff. Smart guy. You know, so are they doing it now? I don't know. And neither do you. You know, my thing is, they go, conspiracy. Ernie, do you think that they would do? And I'm going, I don't know. Would it maintain, enhance their authority and intrusiveness over individuals? Well, if they can, then they are. So we need to have much greater understanding of the world around us because, man, the big bad guys will do whatever big bad guys can to maintain their position of being big bad guys. You know, this is like a big giant shock. Yesterday we had a gentleman did a a piece. I really like a lot of his work. He's at YouTube explaining now. The bottom line is he gives a lot of examples is that we're just on farms, man. You know, we're just, you know, the more you create a bigger government because you create a much larger economy, because the more freedom you give people, the more they produce, the more you can glean off until it finally becomes a big giant parasite and they kill the host. Hosts be coughing up blood right now, but they're going, as they're going down, they're bringing their guns. Well, what's today? Today's April 20th. You know, all that yesterday, it's revolution, revolution on the 19th. And the 20th, it's revolution tomorrow. Okay? Well, we're going to be talking about the revolution tomorrow when we come back. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Hey, welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in studio. Finally, you got you know, a radio interview tomorrow. You know, but he made it in time. You know, he's here from ASU. It's Alan Proctor, president of NORML, National Organization for Reform of Marijuana Laws, on ASU. So here we got ASU coming up, man. And you're what year are you? You're how old?
Well, I'm 19. I'm a freshman this year.
Freshman. You know what's good about freshmen? Go ahead and put the mic back in the thing. You know what's good about freshmen? Let me tell you what's good about freshmen. That means they got 4 more years. Yep. You know, 4 more years. Because you're let me see. You're number 5 gazillion that we've gone through since the early 90s. What's happened is that, you know, they graduate, they go into life, and they do whatever. We've got another batch. I got a freshman batch coming in. Yeah, we're going to have us some fun. So today, tell me what's going on today. You're going to leave here and get ready to do what?
Well, over at the ASU, in the middle of campus, we're really doing all we can to get as many members as we can all day. We're going to be tabling on the east side of our fountain, and we got a bunch of live bands, some comedy, and some great speakers to come and talk, make it a good day.
Well, tell me about the bands. What bands you got? Maybe I know some of these guys.
We got Property 6, Charlene Holt and Friends, Aiden Fire, The Human Condition, and...
Yeah, comedy team or something. Who's that?
The Bear in Mind Improv Comedy Troupe. One of my friends directs the comedy troupe over there, and they do a good show. They work hard. They work on comedy about 30 hours a week, and they're going to be out there doing a show for an hour.
Okay, so it's Arizona State University. I went to ASU. Let me tell you what happens.
What happens?
Partay, okay? Mm-hmm. Partay. You know, ASU is known for... You know, they be having some tan, bodacious babes, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they do. Yep. So I'm just going ASU out there. I'm wondering if the security there is going, there might be some illegal activity, some marijuana out here. What are we going to do about that?
Yeah, well, I ended up sitting down with Ross and the ASU police, and we had a little meeting and told them what's going to happen at 420, and we told them we'll be out there all day. We're doing our symbolic smoke out at 420. And
Symbolic. Tell me symbolic.
We're rolling, you know, close to 1,000 legal herbal joints in our joint and blunt rolling competitions. And after the competitions, we're going to pass out all of those joints, which are filled with legal herbs. And at 420, we're going to light those.
Hey, wait a minute. There's a rolling contest?
Yep, right before 420 at 2 to 4.
Okay, what are the criteria?
There's no criteria. Anyone who shows up comes and rolls as many joints as they can. It's pretty loose, no real brackets. It's just kind of whoever can roll the
most.
Well,
I know.
Joints.
I just want to know a definition of what, you know, classifies as a acceptable rolled cigarette. I mean, you know.
we are having judges.
Can it be smoked? I mean, you know, is that the criteria? There's
the
something
criteria
in it.
Is
it's
not,
round.
Is not a rip and smokable. So.
Okay. We got to have some kind of criteria here.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Not a rip, smokable.
Yep.
Well, this is like there's got to be a law somewhere. You guys are advocating for juvenile delinquency. There's somebody, you know, breaking something.
Yeah. We're there's going to be a lot of people out there, and we'll see.
I don't know. And what does this legal herb smell like? Does it happen to kind of sort of almost smell like marijuana?
I have not yet smelled it, actually, so we will soon find out, I guess.
I was in at the Liberty Forum for a Free State Project. I was one of the speakers, and the evening, which one was it? I think it was a Saturday evening. They had a 420 event in Nashua, and they went. They're still arresting people for that. I mean, you know, they didn't like that at all. Got all their pictures in the paper and everything. The officers being just stupid, you know. But you know, that's pretty much why they do it. You know, let's see how the police state reacts. It's the stupid stuff that they do, and they just continue to be stupid, going on playing stupid. So they just keep. You know, they don't understand that this hard crack down, going to somebody's house at 3 o'clock in the morning. We got pictures of you being there and kind of stuff that, you know, it has a counter. It's almost like they do it on purpose. I don't even understand their reasoning. But what happens is. There's some police activity. So I'm just, I mean, you guys prepared for that?
Well, we're not exactly sure. I'll be quite honest. We're not too prepared for, to deal with the police. This is our first event, and, we're not sure how everything's going to happen, how they're going to react, but we did everything we can to inform them. We told them we want to help them out. We want to be as civil as we can in this. And, they seem pretty willing to, you know, they said, well, they'll respect the symbolic smoke out, and they won't be there.
They won't be there. Pinky swear!
Unless they're called in.
Well, how many people are going to be there?
We're not sure. I mean, we'll see.
I don't know. Is Morpheus going to be there? Are you going to be there, Morpheus?
You betcha, man.
All right, get off speakerphone. Now,
yeah, I was just listening to
get
you.
Get off speakerphone.
I'm off speakerphone.
Okay. And what is it that you're planning on doing?
Well, the reason why I didn't exactly call in for this subject, but I can't talk about it for a second. But this 420 thing, I'm definitely going down there. I'll be out plugging some masks and DVDs, Obama Deception, Freedom of Fascism, and so forth. So I got a big pile of those.
Okay, in 20 seconds, you got to say what you wanted to talk about. Go, TikTok.
I want to talk about Jan Brewer, how we need to call her up. And her phone number is 602-542-4331. This is about SB 1070. It's
National ID. National ID. Thanks for bringing that up. Thanks. End of the show, man.
They're hitting the thing. Number.
Thank you. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And we're back here in Declare Your Independence in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios at Freedoms, with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Yeah. I got all guys kind of talking. Yeah, they want to start talking about all the other stuff they want to talk about. But I got in-studio guests. We're going to talk about what I want to talk about. All right? That's how it's going to go. Yeah, we have Charlene, one of the girls that's down here. She's an activist, and I got a note here. She's going to be playing at this ASU thing. You know, I got, you know, the Musicians for Freedom thing. We'll see how that goes. The other issue is, yes, yesterday while they were down there doing their April 19th woohoo, Articles of Freedom was presented. Ed Vallejo is doing that, and one of the activists here. Also, they passed SB 1070, 1080, whatever it is. I forget. But it's, you know, they're going to be checking for your ID. It's a name of immigration. Immigration. Got to get them immigrants. And to get them immigrants, we got to, you know, papers please to everybody. Okay, you know, I want to go on record. What is it, 420, 2010? I know exactly what the heck is going to happen. Exactly. And every one of you people out there are going, but you get the immigrants, I got to give up my, you know, all my state records, your hunting and your fishing license and your Department of Motor Vehicles and whether you got a concealed carry permit and any other license, real estate, you have, you know, stockbroker, any, Any interface that you have with the state government now is going to go to the feds, and they're going to pull you up and say, hello, got y'all papers? And if you don't, oh, you better not be walking around while brown, because, man, here you go. You're going to get detained until they can determine. And I'm telling you, this is exactly what this whole thing was always about. Always about. You think they give a crap about immigration? Yeah, they on the border? As if that would do anything anyway. You know, what do I care? You can fill a job, get over here and, you know, mow my lawn. I don't care. All this other stuff that you're talking about, you're afraid about. You know, they're spending money on education. They're taking money out of welfare. They're taking money by using the parks, the libraries, the schools, and the health and all that kind of stuff. I don't care where you come from. You're ripping me off of money that's mine and giving it to someone that came from Appalachia. You think I see the difference? You think there's a difference? You think there's a difference? Yeah, there's a difference. Hey, Americans. Yeah, well, what the hell does that mean? Oh, here you got it. It passed. You're done. Well, I kind of knew it would. But, you know, the thing is I wanted to make absolutely crystal clear, which we did, that anybody that supports this thing, support National ID. That's right. National ID, even the Sonoran Alliance, which big anti-immigration group, big on this immigration thing, big on they came out yesterday going, you know, them crazy guys over at Freedom's Phoenix, they're right. This is National ID. And I go, ooh, how's that going to play out in this election cycle? Gee, let me think for a second. You think I'll make a point of it and have some fun? Let me think. Yes. And where are you at on it? Man, you know where I've been on this. So you guys bring it on. I can't wait for one of you to call in and tell me where. Go ahead. Because you know what? You know that I know what's going to happen. They're going to do the last little sweep thing. Oh, and guess what else is in this law? When they confiscate cars and property from any illegals, or you happen to have one in your car and they take your car, you know, they sell that. And those proceeds are divvied up by the judge back into the little SWAT team task force, go get more. It's like drug war RICO laws all over again. You know, this is, and when they did RICO later, they're going, yeah, man, we kind of screwed up on that one. Yeah. And it go away? No. Like Patriot Act or any of this other stuff? Man, bring it on. What do we say, all as freedom fighters? What do? We look at this stuff and we go, one day closer to freedom. Can we hurry up and get to the police state? So we know we freaking got to leave. And they're saying, oh, we need to have a what? A what? I say the Constitution was illegally done anyway. Let's go back to Articles of Confederation. Problem solved. Get rid of that federal government thing. Heck, I go back to the sovereignty of the individual. Wasn't that what it was supposed to be all about? Declaration of Independence? Yeah. How do you tell when the government's bad? When it's not protecting individual rights. It's your right. It's your duty. Well, some people going out waving a gun. Ooh, I got a gun. Yeah? Well, are you willing to get out there and take a lashing for putting up a sign? Well, these young guys are, and they're standing up against a man. But the thing is that do they really know what they're coming up against? Arizona State University is a state-funded university. They try and give the, you know, yeah, you got some freedom. Yeah, you filled out the right paperwork. You got your permit. We'll give you some freedom up to a point. You can have mock freedom. You can have pretend freedom. You can get the kind of almost, I wish I had some freedom. Well, we got Alan Proctor here. I bet you had to fill out a couple of pieces of paperwork, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And tell me, come on, walk me through it.
Well, it started the initial registration, and then to do the whole event, you got to fill in the when you want the space, what you're going to do with it, and then any other kind of waivers that you're going to do for the event, you got to go through their policies.
Which are what? I agree to not break the law?
Yeah, the law, the policies, they kind of got a handbook, and they're kind of governed by their undergraduate student government. So all these policies that were decided upon by ASU students in the past are virtually law at ASU. So we got the student handbook that's an additional policy set on the laws.
Okay, let me give you an example. Mm-hmm. When they want to arrest somebody, they'll go, oh, man, we're going to arrest. We'll think of something. Like what? Well, it's drug paraphernalia. Okay, what? I got my big bong. I got my chichong bong. Oh, that's a good one. I don't call it that. Chichong bong. I got my chichong bong here, and I'm putting in my legal herb, all right? I'm putting in my legal, this new Chinese sprayed chemical crap that's not illegal yet. You know, the Lord knows what it does. brain cancer or something, you know, lung, you know, rotting or liver dissolving or whatever the heck it does. You know, I'll do the God herb, you know, let's do that. You know, don't even get me going. Anyway, so they have this legal herb, whatever it is, you know, grass they picked up out of the dirt or something, and they put it in the bowl there and they busted. Drug paraphernalia, okay? Mm. So what do they? So what do they do then?
I don't know. What do they do?
Heck if I know. I go. Do you know? I mean, I don't know. They're going to be checking. You know, scrape a little of that. Oh, see, you didn't have a new bowl. You had some residue in there. Had some marijuana, JIA, and you are going to go to prison. I don't know. You know, fortunately, you're going to have Mark Victor, criminal defense attorney, standing there. That won't hurt.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So here we have, you know, these kind of things. These young guys, I mean, they don't think it all the way through. And you know, there's some guy back there going, you know what? If it was in our favor, it was to our advantage, we could do whatever we want. You know, just doing my job, okay? Mm-hmm. So they come in, and because I seen this happen at the 420 in Nashua, they had a four-foot-high bong sitting on the sidewalk. There was people just walking up there taking a toke.
Oh, wow.
You know, they're just going, gurgle, gurgle, gurgle. It's all good. And then, and a sea of, it must have been, you know, from the videos, if you go look at it, it had to be at least, I don't know, 100 people or so or more. And they had picked out one guy to arrest.
Wow.
The young black guy.
Wow.
I'm going, are they just stupid or, you know, was he a plant or something or what? Then you're going to have the agent provocateur out there. Now, what happens when that one person actually they get for smoking a real marijuana joint? You know, do you guys, don't arrest him, don't. You're going to say, hey, man, life sucks. you knew better. I mean, what kind of defense are you doing for that crazy individual that exercises some freedom?
I don't know. We're probably going to stay out of it. We talked to him beforehand and told him we're not trying to support – we're not trying to get people to come out there to do anything illegal. So we're going to be letting everyone do their thing. And then I won't be starting any rallies. Any rally, go, no, police, go home, leave us alone. I won't do that.
Well, that leaves it open for me and Mark.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing that I did want to get clear on this is that you're doing this mm-hmm. because why?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you.
What is it? Just start from the beginning. What are you doing? We're having, you know, it's from noon to what?
From noon to about 9, 10 p.m.
Dang, man. That's a long time out in the sun in Arizona if you're not smoking weed.
Yeah. It's a long day. Yeah.
For what? I mean, why so long?
Well, I'll give you the quick rundown. We got noon till about 1, a live band, and then we got a comedy show right after that for an hour. And then we got about 2 hours of joint and blunt rolling activities, competitions. And then 4:20 will be around the corner, then 4:20. And then at 5 p.m. and right after 4:20, we're going to hear some guys talk about some liberty and stuff like that. Then we're going to have close the rest of the night out with about four more bands. So
it's a party. I'm interested. I'm interested that they gave you so much time. That's not normal.
Well, we technically.
No, it is normal.
We can have it.
It's normal.
It's a normal activity. That's what we'll take it all.
All right. Cool. You have to have a sponsor, though.
Well, it sure helps when you can go to a business and get them to give you money to promote
this.
No.
I mean a faculty sponsor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we have to have a faculty advisor.
Well, so who's that?
Dr. Deborah Henderson. She's a political science major. She agreed with our normal views.
So she's a pothead.
Well, I'm not so sure about that. I don't know. Nowadays, a lot of people, whether they smoke or not, are starting to come around to
the
issue.
So she's supporting the concept that your head should be potted.
I guess so.
Or have the freedom. See, this is, you know, why I bring this up is because, you know, for them to do this, you have to have a faculty member mm-hmm. that says, okay, I will be your, I don't know, what is it, sponsor, advocate, something.
Advisor.
Advisor. And I advise you not to get me in trouble. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Right.
So I'm glad that this is going on. I mean, we'll make fun of it and so on, but I'm telling you. You know, this is a freaking freedom thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, I put my hand on your shoulder and I say, whose life is that? And you better be saying what?
I'm not so sure.
I put my hand on your shoulder. I go, whose life is this?
This is mine.
Ah! Ding, 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 ding. Because, I mean, if it's not yours, whose is it?
It's nobody's.
Somebody else's, and it ain't somebody else's, it's mine.
It's definitely mine.
So I go, okay, so I got, it's my life. What can I do in my life? What can I do? I don't know, as long as it doesn't bother you, you know, doesn't infringe on your rights, then what? You know, it's just complicated. We have Tony Ryan, a retired officer, commander from Denver Police in here, law enforcement against prohibition. Sheriff Richard Mack, member of law enforcement against prohibition. Now, you conservative constitutional, yeah, we love Sheriff Mack. Hate the pot smokers. He doesn't. Heck, and he was an undercover narc agent. You know, this is, they know, I know. And if you don't know, then you're not paying attention. This is all about slave control. This is all about, you know, I tell you, I was talking to, we were at a party Saturday night, a fundraiser at Mark's house for Barry Hess. And there was a four ASU high school students that were there. And I think they were drinking beer and they were underage, but it wasn't my problem. Okay. Anyway, so they I'm going, hey, you know, we're carding you, man. At this, they looked at me. And I'm like, yeah, just kidding. So so what happens is they're saying, I said, let me tell you what I've heard the effect of marijuana. All right. That may be a challenge to the state. So I've heard. Okay.
So you heard.
So I've heard. If you're standing on the side of the road and you're looking down the road at a line of telephone poles, you see one telephone pole. Yeah, I got a telephone pole there. Look at the telephone pole. I see a telephone pole.
Okay.
That's a nice telephone pole.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, you know what that does? It has you take a step to the left or right, about three or four steps. And you step over, and all of a sudden you just get a different perspective on it.
It's a fascinating telephone pole.
No, there's a bunch of telephone poles. You go, there are a whole bunch of telephone poles, and they go off into the distance like looking down a railroad track. There is a different perspective. And so I've heard when you watch the news, you surf the internet, you talk to people, you go to events, you start having the talking heads, blah, 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 and you're going, you know, that's a bunch of crap. I'm being shoveled a big giant load. I'm going, oh, my goodness. So I've heard. Okay. So the thing is that I never really understood what's the big threat, because alcohol makes you violent. I mean, at least you lose your judgment. You go do stupid stuff. You know, it's like, I remember there was a comedian named Tim Slagle. He's a libertarian comedian in the mid 90s. He was real popular. And they had a drunk subway train operator run one of the control lights and crashed and killed some people. And he goes, you know, if marijuana was legal, yeah, he might have, you know, ran the red light at 5 miles an hour. You know, it's a totally different, you're not violent. Yeah, I want to go out and watch the Flintstones. I mean, you know, this is, I'm wondering what's the real threat, though. I think the big threat is it's just money. It's money for the man. Nobody wants the drug war more than the drug dealers and law enforcement.
The pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, pharmaceuticals, because, you know, there's a lot of evidence that this, it's enough that it gets passed state by state by state. And tell us about here in Arizona. Isn't there an initiative on the ballot? Tell me about that.
The medical marijuana initiative is, you know, it is medical marijuana. I wanted to see it as a full win for our entire cause, because it really limits what they can do with medical marijuana, 8 specific conditions. And it's really nothing like what everyone thinks about the liberal California medical marijuana. It's not that. That was the first and only one to be that open to really finding out how far the medical marijuana can extend to all these different conditions. There's conditions like bipolar disorder, OCD, and other conditions like that, that there will be no way we can get that here in Arizona, but someone may find true medical value from it. So it's a win, but it's not all the way there.
Well, what is it? What is it? It says I can grow under what circumstances? I can go under what circumstances? What is the law that they're putting on? Because it passed, and you know, when you were in freaking diapers, mm-hmm. you know, they did it here in Arizona before, and immediately legislation went, nuh-uh. So the people that funded that went and did another initiative saying, when we do an initiative, you can't change it, but with 3/4 of the legislature buttheads, and then they're doing it again. Right. So I'm going, okay, so they do what again?
Yeah, well, this time from, I have tried reading, I couldn't fully interpret all of it. There's dispensaries every 25-mile radius, so that's not very many dispensaries, and
And who can get it? Is it
a prescription written or from your doctor? You got to
get
approval.
Okay, I think that was the problem that they had before getting prescribed, because the DEA controls doctors that can prescribe.
Right.
It's recommend.
Right.
So a doctor's recommendation, and with a doctor's recommendation, you can get it somehow. We'll get somebody in from the initiative, get some more details about that. But that's not what, you know, Alan's about. He's about party today at ASU. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day here in Phoenix, Arizona, where it's BEA beautiful, and especially here in Freedoms. Phoenix.com studios and workshop. Well, yeah, Alan, this is your first time visiting. You hadn't even got the tour yet because you was late.
I know.
And it, but yeah, you see, man, we got it going on. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're gonna have us some fun, and we got a freshman. See, it's like Neo. Okay, he's like the sixth or seventh incarnation of the one. All right, well, here comes another one. And I'm like, yeah, I get another, you know, 3-4 years out of you, you know, being an activist, and you'll get arrested a couple more times and this, and you'll go do something great and wonderful, and we'll get you on, you know, national whatever and this and that. And all of a sudden, and then you graduate. And then we got somebody else. But that's the way it rolls when you're dealing with university students. Okay, now, you became a juvenile delinquent when? How? How'd you do that?
Age 18, over this winter break in December, I became a juvenile delinquent, and me and my good friend from U of A were reunited after a long semester away from each other, and decided to catch up on some old times over a joint. And, you know, we were sitting in a public park, which proved to be a bad place to do it, and after a while of sitting there, we really got caught up in conversation, actually. We just let time go by sitting in our car, and the police came right behind us with their lights and everything, and we hopped out of the car and did the best we can to, you know, I've seen all these videos, know my rights, all this stuff. We didn't lock the car door, and it didn't take them anything. Open the door, smell it, search the whole car. And from there, between us, we had a grand total of 0.2 grams of marijuana.
Wow, like point nothing.
Yeah, about, I don't know, less than $5 worth.
Is that even enough to have a joint?
No, it's not. It's the bottom of the nothing. It's a little bag with the little.
Well, didn't
something
you have? Wasn't there an attorney to help you with what the heck are they even doing, stopping, searching, and opening anyway? I mean, didn't you challenge any of this?
Yeah. Well, I initially was really skeptical. I was trying to. I told them, no, you can't search. You can't do this. And they were playing an interesting game with me, and they kept saying, oh, we know what you smoked, and they wouldn't say the magic word, the M word, marijuana, and they were trying to lead me to get it, and I never ended up confessing anything, but all it took was they said they smelled ourselves, and they opened the door and smelled the car, and that's...
Without your consent.
Without my consent.
Okay, all right.
No doubt.
So they had, we got cause because we got the badge. All right. So they open it up. They get you. Thanks for playing. So they take you off to jail, and you spent how long?
Well, 13 hours in jail.
Okay, so 13 hours in jail. Mm-hmm. Then there's, because of the initiative that passed last time, it's not a... I don't know. There's kind of a treatment alternative thing, right?
Right.
So there's a special interest making the cash, being we are the forced treatment, whatever. You don't get to have a record and all that kind of stuff, but you know what? We get some cash.
Yeah, a lot of cash, $1,200, and then 90 days of clean testing.
So when's your testing over?
May 9th.
Oh, so you're telling me you are unpolluted?
Yeah, I'm unpolluted. My urine analysis is clean.
Oh, I'm 420, and you're going to be, well, you know, fortunately, you're not the one going to do time. All right. So we see where that's going. But the thing is that, you know, this turned you into an activist? I mean, all of a sudden you're like, hey, what up?
Well, no, it just a little extra motivation on the, it's kind of the tip of the iceberg, because I had been doing it the first semester, and then just this turned it into why not put some time into it and see where I could take it?
Because you'd worked on previous petitions and stuff before, even.
Yeah, I was doing medical marijuana petitioning even before.
Okay, so here's a motivated individual who's got the principle down and, you know, just has a personal self-interest now, especially with the man going after him. We'll talk about it more.